many would say you're a visual learner. Like when you see it, you get it. One of the reasons we've set up this summer teaching series the way you have, I'm a visual learner. And there's something about seeing what it is that I'm reading, something about seeing a picture, and then when you read one or two of the scriptures, my mind goes, oh, this is where he's at, and this is what he's talking about, or this is the situation they're addressing. And so this summer teaching series that we're doing, this is different than we've ever done it here at the church, where there's a little thought about the Bible, a video that we show, and then just one kind of nugget out of the scriptures that we're going to share with you per week. But the goal is to hopefully entice you to read on your own outside of these four walls, because I'm about to say something so controversial, you're going to freak out. Three of you are going to end up leaving. Okay, so here it is. Ready for this? God wants you to read the word on your own so you get to know him more. Gosh, what I know, it's controversial. People aren't going to believe it. Like, I know you got to come to a pastor for him to give it to you to make sure you translate it correctly. And here's a little insight. We sometimes get it wrong. Why don't we just trust God, go to God, and get God on your own, and then every once in a while, on Sundays, let's get back together, and we can see that, wow, God's doing a lot of the same things in the world around us. And so this thing, if you do not have our app, I want to encourage you to download our app. If you've become a partner here at the church, or you attend all the time, you'll probably get an email this afternoon just reminding you of the reading program. And I have the most exciting news for you. If you hate reading the Bible, it seems overwhelming. At no point this week will you be asked to read more than 25 verses, because the book's only 25 verses. And you're like, well, that's too much. Skip the opening prayer, okay? Just skip that. That's seven whole verses you can skip out. He's just praying and blessing you. I'll even read some at the very end. Like, just get on there. But I want to encourage you, watch this short video week in and week out. You're watching the videos, you're reading the word, and at the end of the summer, you're going to know 8 books of the Bible in a way that you've never known them before. So that's why we're doing this. If you're watching online, same thing for you. Download these things. Get connected with us. And today in this, when I read this, when you watch this video, to me, you can almost summarize this entire book by one word: forgiveness. When you look at it, and yes, there's little parts and there's little prayers and specific things, but when you look at this whole book, it's forgiveness. And here's why I'm super excited about this thought. How many believe that God is a very busy person with everything that's happening in the world, making sure the world stays where it's supposed to be, spinning the way it's supposed to be, the sun, the moon, the stars shining the way they're supposed to be? I would say this: God's probably a pretty busy person. And if I'm honest with myself, there's some things in my life that I'd probably like to pray for, but I'm not going to bother him with it because they're so small. Because, I mean, am I the only one that's got up in the middle of the night to go use the restroom? You bump your toe and you go, oh, God. But it's not really a prayer. It's more of a reaction. Because this is a little problem and I'm not going to bother him with it. I get a splinter. I'm not going to bother him with it because God's so big. He's so busy. Why bother him with something like this? And then think about this. In this entire, he only has so many books that he's going to add to this scripture, this word, this living document that we can have that breathes in us and talks to us. And of all the things happening in the world, he decides to write about two people's relational conflict. So it kind of tells us, number one, how personal God is, but number two, how intentional God is when it comes to relationship, that we have healthy relationships. And so in this, when we talk about forgiveness, I understand this is very big and easy to throw this out there, that we're going to talk about relationships and we're going to talk about forgiveness. And if I were to say to you right now, should you live a forgiving lifestyle, every one of you would probably say yes. Now, saying it and doing it are two different things. Because if I were to say to you right now, we all need to live a healthy lifestyle, you need to count your macros and your micros and your macros, whatever those keto words are, and you got to watch your carbs, watch your proteins, healthy fats and all stuff. How many would say, yes, I need to live a healthy lifestyle? How many are actually eating? Don't raise your hand. This would be very awkward. How many would say, I go to the gym all the time, I'm watching what I eat all the time, and I'm counting those things that you mentioned that I actually know what they are? Because it's different saying it than doing it. How many would I say right now, and yes, I feel like an auctioneer up here talking about money. We're going to talk about money right now. How many would say you're talking about money and your money in your life? You know that you need to spend more, make more, or spend less, make more. In order to live a healthy financial lifestyle, you need to stop buying every shiny thing that comes along your way and the drive-through fast food places that just beckon you to come. Why? Because there's a $2 for $4 sale. You think this is a better, healthier way of living, but you're already not doing health. Why do the finances? How many would say right now, you know you should be living better financially, but you don't actually do it, right? Because there's one thing about knowing it, another thing about doing it. So if I were to ask you right now, do you live a lifestyle of forgiveness? You would go, yes, I need to. But that didn't answer the question, do you? And so I'm going to do something right here. I'm going to just pause. I'm going to take a deep breath pretty much because I talked too fast for the last 3 minutes. And I have a very simple question that I would like to ask everybody in this room that we will revisit at the end of the sermon. And here's what the question is. I ask you to take this with sincerity. I ask if you're watching us online, I'm sure there's noise happening in the room around you. People are doing things. You're on some other device playing. I'm just going to ask you to listen to this one question and see if, not David, not you, but see if the Holy Spirit says something to you right here. Who in your life do you hold unforgiveness towards? Where in your life do you have unforgiveness? What situation in your life, when it comes back around, reveals to you that you haven't got over it? Because this, by the way, this doesn't take a prophetic man. It doesn't take a pastor. In a group this size with as many people that are watching us online, there are people here that have unforgiveness towards somebody, something. And by the way, when I talk about unforgiveness, can I just say, I think there's big and small offenses. Okay, so here's a small offense. How many have been driving somewhere, walking somewhere, doing something, and some stranger says a comment to you that's mean? I would say this, for me, and this is my personality, this may not be you, for my personality, that doesn't ever bother me ever. You know why? Because those people mean nothing to me. And it may sound very harsh way to look at it, we have no relational equity. They don't know who I am. I don't know who they are. I don't know what their personality is. They don't know my personality. I've never seen them do something good or bad. They've never seen me do something bad. But in this moment, there was a negative reaction that occurred, and they end up saying, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly. And, you know, you want to say, your mom. Like, you want to respond. But here's the thing. I don't dwell on those people because, and again, this may just be me. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't hold them in value. I don't value their words. There's no weight to them because of no relationship. And so if you are someone that gets you hung up all the time, I say this with as much love as I can, you may want to seek some level of pastoral or some type of counseling to find out why a nobody means so much to you. Because I'll tell you now, it does point to something that. And why do you keep letting strangers hijack what God has called you, a son and a daughter of value? But I would say this, I'm more talking today about the big hurts. I mean, there's conversations as pastors you don't want to have because you just know that in bringing it up, it will bring it up. And you've worked and I've worked and we've worked for so long to push it down, because if we push it down far enough and we cover it up with enough dirt and we put enough scriptures over it, we can eventually get past it. And but by me just saying to you, do you have a deep-rooted pain and unforgiveness somewhere? And it looks like this. It looks like I was supposed to be protected by them because they were my babysitters, but they abused me. I gave my children to them and they end up doing this. I trusted them with my finances and we were supposed to be in business one with another, and look what they end up doing. This was my best friend. She was my best friend. They ended up betraying and dating. I was supposed to be married till death do us part, but they end up. The moment you start asking those type of questions, every one of us have one of those type of stories. But here's the thing. I want to talk about the hard offenses today. But I also believe just by talking about it, by God writing about it in Scripture, there will be a grace on this house. There will be a grace watching online. There will be a grace on this message. Because if God brings it up in you, there's a chance He wants to deal it with you. And what a powerful thing to think that you're not in this thing alone. And so today's conversation is based upon this book, and it's all talking about one thing. The way I'm going to talk to you about it today, it's talking about forgiveness and understanding forgiveness. So here's what I want to do. The first thing I want to tell you, what forgiveness is not. Because I think we have some misconceptions about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is not forgetting. How many have ever forgiven someone of something and all of a sudden the memory of why you had to forgive them was totally wiped away? Well, why were you upset with them? I don't know, because when I forgave them, the memory disappeared. It never happens that way, does it? Why? You forgave them, but don't forget, you can't forget what happened of why you had to forgive them. But there's some misnomer somewhere out there that somehow by forgiving them, I have to forget what has happened. But that's absolutely impossible, which is one of the things that I feel like over time I have come to develop. I don't find that I say to anyone anymore, you know what I like to do? I just want us to get back to where we were. And here's why I don't say that anymore, or haven't for quite a while. I'm not sure that's possible. I'm not sure to get back to where we were because we're here now. And you got to deal with here. But then here's the other thing that is questioning to me. The reason we're here is because of where we were. And if where we were got us to where we are, why do we want to go to where we were? Because where we are sucks. It sucks. Okay, I said it. Like, it's out there now, but let's just have real talk, right? Like this relational rut, this pain, this robbery, this thief, this whatever it might be, this is no good. I don't want to be here. So why would I want to go back to where we are versus realizing where we are is where we are. So I'm going to choose to forgive you. But where we need to be needs to grow and mature and morph and evolve into something healthy. And by the way, it happens because I can't forget what happened. What happened, happened, and I'm going to live with what happened, but it also doesn't mean that I want to go back to the place where it can happen again. Because here's where forgiveness isn't. Forgiveness is not unconditional. So metaphorically speaking, if every time you go in front of someone, they punch you in the mouth, it doesn't mean forgive them, then walk in front of them again. It can be, I'm going to forgive you, but guess what? I'm not going to put myself in a place where you can punch me again. So that is conditional forgiveness. I may have forgiven the person. Okay, let's go. I may have forgiven the person who sexually abused me, but that doesn't mean we're going back out on another date. Right? That's conditional. And here's the thing. If you ever have time, I want to encourage you to go read Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is like the forgiveness book, and it's where, have you ever heard of the disciples? They asked the question, how often do we forgive? And Jesus said 70 times. Okay, that's Matthew 18. But nowhere does he say the reason you have to forgive 70 times 7 is because you keep walking back into it and let it happening to you. I would question Jesus on that one. You're telling me I have to keep giving my money to a financial advisor that embezzles my money? No, I forgave you for stealing from me, but guess what? I'm switching accountants. That's conditional. When it came to the unmerciful servant, this was a guy who owed, let's say this, billions of dollars. When the master forgave him, he forgave him. Debt was done. Doesn't mean he rehired him. Because it can be conditional. There's no reason for you to forgive someone than to re-engage in a healthy situation where you yourself will be abused again. It is absolutely okay, but there is that process, that Matthew 18 process, where you go and you find forgiveness in that thing. Here's what forgiveness is not. And by the way, you're going to hear a pastor say it, and I will defend this statement because I actually believe I'm correct on this. Ready for this? Forgiveness is not fair. If you took from me, I should take from you. That's fair. I mean, is that not, am I way off my rocker on this one? If you wounded me, you should be wounded. You should be punished. That's fair. You know, the whole eye for an eye. Like, that's what feels right. But here's what ends up happening. If this person wounds your mind, your soul, your physical body, your finances, whatever it might be, if they wound you and you forgive them, you erase a debt and you're not getting anything back. And if you go, that doesn't seem fair. Well, it may not seem fair, but we're going to talk in a little bit that at some point the debt can't be paid back anyway. And so if you say, I will forgive them when they get what they deserve, please remember this, all of us deserve death, hell, and the grave. So do you really want to live the lifestyle, the belief system, judge not lest ye be judged in the very same manner. So if your judgment is, I will only forgive when they get what they deserve, then guess what? You will only be forgiven when you get what you deserve. And it doesn't feel right doing it that way, does it? Like, you really love the whole get out of hell free card that you got with Jesus, but there's other people who are like, burn, baby, burn. Unless I'm the only one that thinks that way occasionally. Not on Sundays, that's when I'm behaving, right? God is always just, but it's not always fair. So we trust in a just God. And so God doesn't ask you to forgive other people to heal them, but he's asking you to forgive because the forgiveness will heal you. And you know this to be true. You know that there's thoughts that you have in your head that every time you think of it, negative emotion pops up. Do you have unforgiveness towards someone that when it comes back up, you start laughing and you're in a better mood? Do you have unforgiveness in a certain area of life that when it comes back into your life again, somehow you become productive that day and not depressed? God's asking you to find forgiveness because it's forgiving and healing to who you are. But the problem is we become very good at bitterness. You know why? Bitter is easier than being better. It's so easy to take that person. Think about this. You know you guys have that person in your life. You have that person, that situation, that drama and trauma that occurred in your world, and you have a special little place in your heart. And when you're in a bad mood, you pull that little person out, that situation out, and you do what? You beat it up. You tell them what you think about them, and you get in a good little argument with them, which you win. Which, by the way, here's how my argument's going. Some reason I'm getting all fired up right now, and I just want to tell you about it. Because here's what happens. I get in an argument with them, and the argument that we originally have, my new argument expands. Not their argument. They're idiots. Their argument stays the same. My argument expands, and I get better at beating them at an argument, and I learn new little pithy sayings that I can say, and such zingers. There's a camera right on me. How you doing, pal? Like, here's a guy who gets easily distracted. So there's a new little zingers and stuff that you start throwing their way in and throwing at them. They get really good at it. And then my little argument of this little person that I pulled out of my heart that I can beat up on, and pretty soon there's a group around that are listening to me beat them in an argument. And everyone around in my little head argument starts agreeing with me that they're an idiot and I'm really good and they're horrible and I'm great, right? And then all of a sudden you get done with it and you realize what you're doing and hopefully other people aren't seeing you. And you put that little person back into your heart and you wait till the next time that you need to get back at them. We get very good at holding those grudges. We get very good. It's a learned lifestyle of unforgiveness. But may I tell you, you become toxic when that's who you become. Your words become harsh. Your relationships become splintered. Have you ever heard this? And I wish I could say I made this up, but it's the one thing when it comes about unforgiveness that has been around forever, and it's bare worth repeating so that you can remember it, and if you've never heard it, so that you can know it. And it's simply this: unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. When you live with unforgiveness, you are the one being poisoned. And so you go, I don't know if he's even talking to me about unforgiveness. Yes, you do. You know that it's you, and here's why. Anytime that person, that situation, that thing kind of gets brought up, all the emotions come to the top of who you are. You find a way to bring it up in a conversation that doesn't even belong them. You find a way to let other people know about what happened to you. You find a way to never get past it, because if you don't get past it, you can always live in a victim mentality. And in a victim mentality, you can lick your own wounds despite everyone around you going, dude, we know this already. Like, if you've had ever had someone say this, you have to figure out how to get over this. Here's what they're saying to you. You are reeking of unforgiveness. And here's the thing. You get okay with it, but you'll never be okay with it. And so how do we get past unforgiveness? By the way, am I talking to anyone today, or is this just... Because the Sundays that everyone's looking at me, it's one of two things. Option one, sermon's horrible, which is a very good possibility. I'm okay with that. Option two, it's because I'm talking to you. And so, thank you. I love you. Thank you. Okay. I wasn't ready for applause. I was giving a thought, so it caught me off guard. Look, guy with camera. Okay, here we go. There's not a guy with camera anymore. Just you back there. You're always looking at me. Steps towards forgiveness. So how do you walk towards forgiveness? Again, these are in your notes. Number one, identify what has been taken from me. But here's what I'm going to say to you. We hurt generally, so we forgive generally. Problem is, you hurt specifically, so find forgiveness specifically. And when I say that, well, I was abused as a child. No, here's what happened as a child. You were near someone who you trusted. And in that trusting, they took advantage of you. They made a conscious decision to pursue their own sexual desires, their own emotional desires. And in doing that, they stole your innocence. Because since that moment in time, you have had trouble becoming intimate with anybody else. You find yourself closed from other relationships. And in that, you've had relational dysfunctions all throughout your life. Why? Because your innocence was stolen and they were malicious about it. Don't generalize what happened to you. Be specific what happened to you so you can forgive specifically. Your innocence was stolen. I was in a relationship before, and in this relationship, this person who was going to be with me till death do me part, little did I know they had a secondary burner phone and an ongoing relationship with someone of the opposite or same sex in a long time. And where I thought I was in a trusted covenant relationship with them, they were actually outside of that, completely breaking trust for years. And by the time I found out about it, our heart was so separated, the relationship was so separated. Guess what? They broke my trust. And by the way, that trust break was so big that I find myself never wanting to trust anybody else anymore, because when someone who shared my bed broke that trust, how could I ever trust a stranger again? We have to be specific on what it is. That this person online, they know who I am, they're a friend, and they begin to type away in the office setting. They begin to type away. They started talking about me. They started berating me, and all they wanted to do was go up in the business. So I forgive them because they have healthy ambitions. No, they attacked you personally. That's what they did. Your name. The only thing the Bible ever gives us, you can't, if you, I swear by my grandmother's grave. You're not allowed to swear by, you swear by one thing. It's your name. Your name's the only thing you have. Your reputation's the only thing you have. And the moment someone attacks that, the reason why it's very personal and men around the world constantly get in fights about it, because you disrespected the name. And when it hurts you to the core, it's because to the core, that's what God's given you as a foundation to grow upon you. And it's okay to say this, that they attacked. This person that I trusted with my money, they ended up embezzling. I got in bed with a businessman who was, after all, a horrible businessman. And he lied about the books. And so, I'm past it. No. You don't need to forgive them because you hit with bankruptcy. You need to forgive them because they stole from you. And the thing that you're supposed to be bringing home to make a safe place for your family, because of that safety being gone, it put strain on your kids. It put strain on your relationship with your spouse. It put strain on your future. Be specific about it. It could be as simple as I was driving down the road and someone hit me in the car. Well, no, they were driving because they were drunk. They were driving because they were late. They were driving and texting. And because of their selfishness about what they wanted, they hurt me physically. And every night when I sleep now, it's absolutely miserable. And no matter what I do, they hurt me physically because of their selfishness. There's something about being specific on it. And then, by the way, you identify it specifically to do one thing with it. Now that you identified it, it's in your hand. Here's what you do. I cancel that debt. That's it. Okay, end of sermon. Go home, practice it. Right? Because that's one of those preaches by a mile, live by the inch type thoughts. But you actually have to cancel the debt. You have to view it as if it was a monetary thing on a ledger and they owe you, but you're going to zero it out. You're going to write it off. You're going to take it as a loss. And by the way, when I say a monetary thing, because that's the way that Jesus talked about it in Matthew 18. Pastor Brent did a sermon on this a couple months ago that you can go listen to an expanded form of it. I'm going to give you a quick thought. There was a servant that owed billions of dollars. And by the way, this is the Amston version because I don't have time to. Servant owed billions of dollars, went before his master. His master goes, you'll never be able to pay it back. I forgive you of it totally. The servant then goes out, finds a guy that owes him $12.14. Like a nothing amount of money. And he goes, until you pay it back, I'm throwing you in prison. So he throws him in prison. Master finds out about the small chump change that he wouldn't forgive someone else, pulls him back in and goes, dude, I forgave you billions. I forgive you of hundreds of millions. Since you don't understand this, I'm throwing you in prison because if we don't forgive, how can we ever be forgiven? And as I thought about that parable that Jesus talked about, I always ask, why is the number that Jesus did in this thing so outrageously high? Why is it so big? Because if I said right now you have a $100,000 debt, most of you go, okay, yeah, I mean, that could be a house, that could be an obnoxiously expensive car, that could be a, you know, the boat that your wife told you not to get, but you promised it's going towards retirement. Like, it could be something like that. But if I said you guys had a $100 million debt that you had to pay off, I would assume most of us around this room would go, that's a lifetime. Like, kill me now, not going to happen, you know? Or don't kill me. I mean, I'd be fine with that too, but. And then it dawned on me. If you were the person that someone stole your innocence, if you were the person that they broke your covenant, if you were the person that got personally attacked, physically injured, bankrupt, if that individual walked back in the door right now and said the phrase, what can I do to make it right? My guess is you couldn't even answer. Because how do they pay back a lifetime of pain that they gave you? How do, if they, hey, could I write you a check for $20,000? $20,000. I flinch every night that I hear a shot, a backfire, a boom because of what you did for me. I can't sleep with blankets on because I remember the weight of who you are. I can't smell this because it was in the other room when you did this to me. I have a question. How could they ever say or do anything to pay you back? Or is what they did against you such a great debt that it's a billion-dollar emotional fee that's due? And that's when Jesus said, you actually just cancel it because they couldn't pay you back anyway. So if they can never pay you back, why are you still carrying that debt in your ledger? So step number one, specifically, what do you need to forgive for? Number two, cancel the debt. And then number three, you're going to love this. Refuse to bring the debt back on. Married people, I'm going to talk to you because we know this is how we do it. Honey, I forgive you. Until the next argument, when that last one works, you bring it back up. Right? We talked about this a while back, but I forgive, but just so you know, this is what I was trying to say last time. Well, no, last time you forgave me. No, you didn't forgive me. You put it on layaway. You had it on a shelf to pull it back out when you need to. And here's what I can promise you. Today, you can make a conscious decision to forgive someone of a major wound that they had in your life. There will be a moment in time when those emotions and those thoughts come rushing back in and you will be faced with them again. But here's what needs to happen. If you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. This is going to be the most important tool you can possibly walk away with. You don't just go, Out of your mouth, you say this, I canceled that debt. You let you know that you canceled that debt because the person you were with the most is yourself. And so you have to remind yourself, I canceled that debt. And something amazing is going to happen, I promise you. I promise you this through the power of the Holy Spirit. A memory is going to come up and those emotions are going to come running. And you're going to say outside of your mouth, I forgave that debt. And all of a sudden, it's going to take a little bit of juice out of that emotion. Then a week, a month, a year goes by, and all of a sudden that memory is going to come back up. And those emotions are going to come up, but not quite as high. You're going to remind you that you canceled and you took a little bit more out of it. And the next time that memory comes back up, a week, a month, a day, an hour goes by, boom, it's going to be less and it's going to be less. And somewhere over time, you're going to see that you have a memory, because don't forget, when you have unforgiveness or forgiveness, you won't forget what happened, but it's not going to come with the power and the emotions anymore. And this amazing thing that happens, we're going to take this thing that used to be a plague on you, toxic to your soul, heart, and mind, and all of a sudden it will be a memory, and one time it's going to come up and you're going to realize you feel no pain, and you're going to turn around and go, oh God, thank you. And this place that used to always be pain will become a platform for praise. Because you're going to remember to God why you're free and that he set you free. And it's no longer a curse or chain around your neck. But it's a place where you can go, God, he did this to me. But I'm no longer bound by the trauma and the drama that was revolved around you. I am wrapped up in praising you because, God, I'm not here anymore. So I would almost have to ask the question, when it comes to this thing called forgiveness, is it anything more than a faith exercise? Because it can increase our faith, because you're going to have faith in one of two things, the fear that they're going to do it again, or the faith that God is there to protect you. And as long as you let that fear is always in opposition of our faith, because if we truly believe that God was our creator and our maker, that sustained everything in our life, the moment you lose your job, you don't freak out. Why? God's got me. But fear pops up. If fear pops up, that means faith goes down. But if faith is popping up because I have a faith in God and faith is my redeemer and faith is my heal and faith that God is going to do these things for me, this is a faith exercise. And so here's what I have to say. You need to learn how to forgive by faith, not by feelings. Because if you allow feelings to be there, your faith will remain low. But if you have the faith that God will be there for you, those feelings will eventually dissipate into a new place of worship. So I would almost ask this question, or say this phrase. It's not how much forgiveness do they deserve, it's how much freedom do you desire. And freedom is found in Christ, for Christ, he has set us free. So, number one, identify specifically. Two, cancel the debt. Three, cancel it again. Remind yourself you canceled it. And when it comes back up, I'm sorry, we don't take debit or credit card here. Nope, we don't take cash or Bitcoin. It's been forgiven. We don't take trade-ins. We don't take layaways. It's been forgiven. You forgive it fully. And this is a process that we go through. So earlier I asked the question, where in your life do you have unforgiveness? Where in your life do you need to forgive someone? Where in your life does someone legitimately owe you, but you need to be released from it? I'm going to ask everyone to do a prayer with me. But in this prayer, this is not one I want you to say out loud. Because partway through, you're going to fill in the blank. And I promise you, if it's hard to fill in the blank, that shows you that God is wanting you to find a place of forgiveness there. Because you remember, bitter is easy. Better is hard. Better is forgiveness. It's a learned behavior. We have to learn this new one. So if you're ready to do a prayer with me right now, if you're ready to take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ by finding freedom through forgiveness, could I just ask you to close your eyes, bow your heads? This is actually how we're going to close service today. For those watching online, same thing I'm going to be talking to you about. I don't care where you're at, what you're doing, say this prayer with me. And again, I'm going to ask you to do it quietly. Do it in your head. Do it to yourself. To say these words with me. Dear God, I recognize that today I have unforgiveness. I would like to be someone who knows how to forgive. But God, this is hard and I am hurting, but I believe that you've forgiven me so I can forgive them. Right now, I choose to forgive, fill in the blank. We're going to say that sentence again. Say this in your head. Right now, I choose to forgive blank. And I hold no debt against them. I release them in the name of Jesus. And from this day forward, the poison of unforgiveness is eradicated from my mind, from my soul, and from my spirit. God, thank you for helping me walk this out from this day forward. Jesus, I thank you for every person that would have repeated that prayer with me, that would have said that, that would have walked through that process. Now, God, it is so easy to say a one-time prayer. It is so easy to make this just kind of a pastor led me through it, but it's so much different to walk it out. That's where I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, be here as our comforter. And not only that, but then also one who is wanting to disciple us and grow us in these spiritual things. Become present in our life so that we can truly learn how to forgive. I ask for anyone who's never been forgiven of their sins today, God, that are ready to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. May this conversation even lead them to that discussion. But for right now, God, we choose to forgive specific debts to specific people for the specific time of forever. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.